This is a replay of the Wednesday night, February 11th, WGN show. We started about 10:20. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. And unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have the next 2.5 hours basically to spend together. And if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. 888-876-5593. 888-ROLLYE. So, looking for things to discuss. And Engineer Bob is terrific at sending me links. But this one actually came to me locally. Yes, for use on my radio stations in Arizona. So, it's an Arizona story. But I had to share it with you. It's a poll. And I always worry about this. I think the only thing worse than these polls that they report is the AI descriptions. But in this case, they went out and they found about 3,000 couples, a little over 3,000 couples in the state of Arizona. And they asked them where they wanted to eat on Valentine's Day. Now, I realize the cost of living is high. And I realize there are some people who are really rethinking their budget. But usually, Valentine's Day, you splurge a little, maybe white tablecloth restaurant, or maybe even the, all sorts of possibilities. Well, apparently, roses are red, violets are blue, inflation is high, so it's nuggets for two? Yes. The number one choice of over 3,000 couples in Arizona for a Valentine's Day meal is Chick-fil-A. I am not making that up, but it gets worse. Yeah, it's bad enough that we're going to see fast food top the list. But the problem is that in the top five, they were all fast food. And I don't know who they asked. The choices, and they didn't basically give you a list and, you know, say, check the one you're going to, you know, it was an open-ended question. Where are you going for Valentine's Day? Yes, and 67% of them chose fast food. I kid you not. Number one, as I say, Chick-fil-A. Number two, Dairy Queen. And when looking at that, it's not really about dinner. It's about dessert first logic. So that's the deal there. KFC came in at number three. I am not making that up. Sonic at number four. That's got to be wrong. And McDonald's at number five. All right. So what did they find when they delved deeper into the 67% who said they were, in fact, going to opt for fast food for Valentine's Day? What they found was that for the most part, their significant others didn't mind that. Now, 68% of all the respondents said that price would influence their decision. Yeah, as evidenced by 67% picking fast food. But, you know, fast food isn't so cheap anymore. My God, Sonic, sometimes you have to get an estimate on a hot dog. But why, they asked, why? Other than the money, which was, of course, number one. Nostalgia. Anybody nostalgic about Chick-fil-A? Yeah, my partner genuinely enjoys it. Less pressure, convenience, or 8% said What Valentine's Day? Yeah, not taking the day seriously. But that's the deal. I guess social norms are finally catching up with wallets. And apparently 82% of those surveyed said fast food dates are acceptable for special occasions. Yeah, over half, of course, cited immediately rising prices. And others, in terms of when we take price off the menu, so to speak, what are they picking? Well, number one is it's a comfort purchase. I don't know. All right. Others say it's a small indulgence. What? An extra large McDonald's fry? I don't even know if they make that. But 24% said fast food. Well, I'm trying to cut back on it. And there you have the list. So happy Valentine's Day. It's coming up this Saturday. And in Arizona, the number one choice is Chick-fil-A. All right. After the news, we'll get to Marty in Chicago and you too, and your requests as well. I've had several now. We won't get through them all tonight, that's for sure. But that's what we'll play is your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel, will you be mine, my darling dear? Love you all the time. I'm just a fool in love with you. Earth Angel, the one I adore. Love you forever and evermore. I'm just a fool in love with you. I fell for you, and I knew the vision of your love, loveliness.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, the Penguins' Earth Angel, and that was Mike in Elmwood Park. It was one of his triple play. We'll get to the other two as well. Of course, the Penguins, 1954, Dutone, number one on the R&B charts. There wasn't a Hot 100 yet, but did very well everywhere. Enough, as I've mentioned, I think. Mercury just wanted them so badly, and Buck Ram, their manager, said, well, you got to take the Platters. Well, we don't want the Platters. Well, you know the upshot, of course. The Penguins never had another hit. The Platters went on to many, so sometimes things work out. And interestingly, Earth Angel was a B-side. Yeah, that was they were not betting on that. The A-side was Hey Senorita, and it was Huggy Boy at Dolphins of Hollywood. He used to broadcast from the window there. Dolphins of Hollywood wasn't in Hollywood. It was an African-American record store that they called Dolphins of Hollywood, just kind of thumbing their nose because it wasn't legal at the time for African-Americans to own stores in Hollywood. So it was in South Central. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we are going to kick it off with Marty in Chicago. Hello, Marty. Welcome to WGN.
Hello, Wally.
What's up?
Good evening.
Yes.
Hey, real quick question.
What?
I've got you in my contacts. Do you spell your name R-A-L-E-I-G-H?
R-O-L-L-Y-E. Just like the phone number. 8888 R-O-L-L-Y-E.
Okay, got that handled.
All right.
And my birthday is next Monday.
Well, happy.
I'm an Aquarius.
All right.
And getting back to where I'm going with this whole statement, Lamont Macklemore,
yes,
one of the founding members of the Fifth Dimension, passed away last week.
On the 3rd, on the day the music died. Yes, he did. And actually, I played a record of a group. None of the Obits will ever talk about this, but he's from St. Louis. And he and Ron Townsend started a group there called the Intervals. And Here's That Rainy Day is one of my all-time favorite records, so I played it last night.
Cool.
Yeah. But what about them?
Oh, I thought you were going to play something. But anyways, I told you before last week, where I live at in Whiting,
yeah,
Gary, Indiana, and it's a blues channel.
Yeah,
they the DJ. He got my request mixed up. He didn't play up and away this afternoon.
Okay.
Can I put that in request? But it'll be, you know, like tomorrow or Friday night. So.
All right, what's the request? I'm bracing myself. I'm almost afraid since you gave me your birth sign.
Up, Up, and Away.
Oh, up,
1957.
Okay.
They won a Grammy for it, so.
Up, Up, and Away. I can do that. If you were saying Aquarius, I don't think I would have. But Up, Up, and Away, sure. Actually, they had a number of things. Some of the stuff that weren't hits. Bones Howe did a great job with them, no doubt about it. Now, to my taste, they were nowhere as good as the Intervals, but but they certainly were successful.
Well, remember, Raleigh, you're only a few years older than me.
Well, that's right. Yeah, I'm a few
I'm
years older. Yeah, I'm a few years older than everybody. All right, so yes, Up, Up, and Away it will be, I promise.
Okay, then tomorrow night, or even Friday, that's okay. Fine.
Well, there
I
is
know
no,
you're always backed up. So.
There is no Friday. That's a replay of Monday night.
Oh, so you only go through Monday through Thursday.
Yeah, yeah. I'm too old for anything else. Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, they're lucky they get 4 days out of me, and that's subject to change, but hopefully not too soon. So that's
okay.
That's the deal. But I will, if I don't, I probably won't play it tonight, although I might, but otherwise then you'll hear it tomorrow night. And so that's your all-time favorite Fifth Dimension record?
Whenever you get a chance.
Okay.
And real quick, before we hang up, I saved... After you told me the story last week, $27 for two sandwiches and some drinks. I perused my Arby's coupons.
Yeah.
I was going to send you some coupons. I threw out the wrong ones.
That's hilarious. No, well, the point of that story, of course, is I never got any sandwiches. They took my money, and I never got a thing. So, you know.
You mean when John came in, your husband?
Yeah.
He never got the money back?
No, they wouldn't give it to him. And you see, that's the thing. He's my protector. He knew I was going to go nuclear on these people. And he's like, I'm leading you out of here now, you know, because he didn't want to bail me out. And I don't blame him. But no, I never got, you know, and what, $27, it doesn't really matter. But it was just the point of it. And no, I never got.
Right.
And worse yet, I had given that person a tip. Because anytime the counter people ask for a tip, I know that they're getting below minimum wage. I'm going to help them out.
Right.
Man, I wanted to take it out of her hide. That's one of the reasons John came and got me. Yeah. So, oh, well. Yeah. And but, you know, I put on my website where it was. I won't say it on the air, of course, because I don't want to use my microphone as a weapon. But I will say that John had said to me, we are never going there again. I said, okay.
Yeah, definitely not. So.
All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Raleigh, nice talking to you.
Likewise. All right. And yeah, that story was telling me because it actually made me almost late, within seconds late for work, you know, for doing the show, and never got the sandwiches. So yeah, but if it weren't for John, yes, I'd probably still be trying to figure out how to post mail. All right. So Mary is in Chicago. So Mary, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, hi, Raleigh. I'm using you to hopefully get to John from Covington. I hope he's listening, because it's thanks to him that I'm getting a nice free lunch coming up.
Yeah.
Because he is kind of mild-mannered, but somehow he always manages to get gambling in a conversation, it seems.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of those gamblers. And anyway, he just threw down with, the football game, the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, the Seahawks are going to win because it's all about the quarterback. So, and then he even says, so just my, a Christmas present for me to everyone, even though here it is February. So I got a kick out of it, and I just mentioned to my neighbor, which I never would have done had it not been from John from Covington. I said, hey, you wanted to do a Super Bowl? And I didn't even, it was definitely going to insist on the Seahawks, but my neighbor said, oh, I'm picking the Patriots. Sure. For going out to lunch. And I said, okay. So, took the Seahawks, and sure enough, like nothing, I won some, thanks to John from Covington, I'm getting a free lunch. Nothing to do with Valentine. We're both old-timers, recycled, my neighbor and I. But, and it's funny you should say that, because I'm already thinking the place I'm picking, I'm not going to gouge the guy. But it's a nicer, everybody has this place, I guess I shouldn't say, but their beers come in these big schooners, and I'm going to get the salad, which includes chicken and noodles and everything. So, John, if you're out there, thank you. It's a, thanks to you I got myself a free lunch.
That's great. And, you know, it was interesting because, of course, the there's always a line on these games to even up the score when you're betting to make it more of a zero-point deal. But the Seahawks were favored 4.5. So, in other words, if you were betting, like if you had a bookie, not only did the Seahawks have to win, but they had to win by 4.5 points or more. Or you lose. That's the way that works. But what was so
fun? Oh, you've already lost me.
Oh, well, no. Another.
You are so smart.
No. I worked for a radio station where I ran numbers for a bookie. But anyway, the sports director.
Yeah.
But here's the deal. No, all these things have a line. And normally in a game, when people aren't, when teams are not equally matched up, it's going to be a pretty big line to make it kind of even. Because if you know that someone's a slam dunk and you don't put a line on there, so that's what they do.
Yeah,
but
true
the,
that.
Right. The Super Bowl is, you know, fairly, you know, obviously these are the top two teams. So the lines are small and it was 4.5 points. But so if the Seahawks only won by 3 points, people betting on the Patriots would have won the bet.
That's why they play the game.
Right, exactly. But in this game, the only reason I mentioned it, in this game, the Seahawks defeated the Patriots 29-13. You didn't have to worry about the line.
Oh, girl.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a 16-point victory, so that was like four times the line.
Yeah. Well, it worked out for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I get a kick out of these gamblers because it's like in their blood or something. But, John, if you're out there, thank you. I'll be thinking of you when I'm eating and drinking.
Yes, you will. That's wonderful. Enjoy every morsel.
All right, I'll let you know.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593. How nice. That's a wonderful story. And, there's a 45.5-point line overall, and the total score fell, I think it was 42, so it fell under that as well. So, okay, 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. We'll talk to Jimmy P and hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Of course, it's Swingin' Shepherd Blues. Mo Kaufman, who wrote it and recorded it first, though there's probably about 40 versions of that, including Johnny Pate on Federal. But the deal was on that, 1957. Yeah, all right. So let's see. And hopefully he heard it, our requester. That was Jack in St. Charles. All right, he wanted the J-Nets, too, and they'll come up. Jimmy P. is on the south side. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Jimmy P.
Hey, Raleigh, last night I heard James from the south side.
Yes, absolutely. Wasn't that nice?
Yeah, I thank you for playing my six-pack, by the way. I got another one
good.
Wish to play.
Always like that. Go for it.
And the first one would be for James on the south side. I know it's a song he likes. I Was the One by Elvis Presley.
Okay. All right.
And I heard the Velours mentioned. Actually, I got to play Can I Come Over Tonight by the Velours.
Yes, absolutely.
Number three, Cry Baby by Garnett Mims.
And the Enchanters. All right. I love that
song. I Wake Up Crying by Chuck Jackson.
Okay.
I got a bunch of them, a million of them here.
That's all right. You got two more. Pick out.
I've got two more. I'm Coming Home by the Nutmegs, the Fabulous Nutmegs.
Oh, absolutely. All right.
And Everyone's Laughing by the Dynamic Spaniels.
Yes. All right.
So that's a six-pack, isn't it?
Yes, it's a wonderful choice. You'll hear
and
them
all. And I hope that James is listening. My namesake, one James to another.
There you are. All right, good deal. Always great to hear from you. Thank you.
Okay, Raleigh.
Okay, bye. All right, so yes indeed, all good choices. So, Mary Ellen, I had a couple of her requests, which we have to play tonight that I haven't gotten to, but it was Mitch in Baghdad who requested the Aretha Franklin Stevie Wonder Until You Come Back to Me, which, of course, was a live recording, and I'll be happy to play that, in fact, right after the news. But other than that, 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH, and if it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine. And one of the things I've told you before, a couple friends of mine put together, a la CKLW, the 2020 news, and every night they send me a different story. And the interesting thing is they're all stories that are on the news, but none of them are written quite this way. So it's about 90 seconds, and it's always a lot of fun.
For Whom the Bell Rocks, plus Eco Mob Mayhem, and Raccoon Rampage Riles Residents, I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Rockin' Robbery rolled. A rock-raiding ruffian rolls into a roadside Taco Bell, ready to raid the register with a rock. Yes, a rock. The Florida felony fiend flings pebbly peril instead of plastic, demanding dollars with dirt-cheap desperation. Patrons gawked as the granite-grabbing goofball pitched a stone-age shakedown. Cops crushed the crusty caper, courts clanged down hard, and the boulder-brandishing bandit bought himself 4 years behind bars. In this burg, burritos cost bucks, and robbing with a rock just rocks you straight into the slammer. Hybrid heist hysteria. A hybrid hoarding hoodlum heads back to court, howling over his Highlander. In a bizarre burglary backlash, a reputed mob figure is fighting to reclaim his quietly creeping Toyota hybrid seized after a suburban smash and grab, prosecutors say. Police spotted the stealthy SUV sliding near the scene, stuffed with burglary gear, cash, and baubles, and hauled it away. Now the alleged outfit associate argues the eco ride isn't connected to the crime, and should stay his. But in this courtroom, silent SUVs don't silence common sense. Pause panic and paperwork. Boardwalk bedlam in New York's breezy Bell Harbor. A vicious raccoon reportedly rushed a group, and NYPD officers trying to guide the critter clear fired fast when it charged, police say. The rabid rumor riles residents, but no people were hurt, and the furry flashpoint fell on the planks. Now the force firearm file heads to investigators because every shot sparks a scrutiny storm. In New York, even a trash panda tantrum triggers paperwork, and that's the only thing multiplying. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.
And Grant Marshall is actually Steve Langford, and that's with Kevin Gershon. And so a lot of fun stuff. And they actually do videos on this, too. And it is a lot of fun. I told him you should get this on television somehow because, it's a lot of work for just having a good time. But I try to get him on the air. When we run out of time, I put him at the end of the stream so you can hear them. Because, I get requests. You betcha. All right. So why is it that cats have nine lives? All right. Well, first, of course, you're taking it on faith that they do. But it's a common myth, of course. But why nine? Yeah, and black cats, bad luck, right? Poor black cats, and all that. But there are 12 myths about cats that Engineer Bob, came up with, and it is great. Because, let's face it, we all think it. Like cats loathe water, for instance. Not necessarily, but cats have nine lives. So, all right, they seem to have a knack for wiggling out of trouble, but they're not actually immortal. And one life is all they get. And in terms of why nine lives, nobody knows, but it comes from their agility and sharp instincts, which helps them avoid danger. This doesn't help me come up with exactly why nine, but that's the best I've got on that. Also, Purring means happiness, not necessarily. All right. It's actually a self-soothing mechanism in many, many times. So if the purring comes with hiding or limping or not eating, your cat is expressing that something is terribly wrong. Yeah, cats can see in total darkness. No, actually they can't. They can see in much lower light than humans, but not total darkness as far as that goes. They stalk around in the dark better than we do, but not pitch black. All right, so 888-876-5593, right after the news, which is, actually, I've got a minute. Let's see, Kenneth is at the Space Center. Yeah, all right, in the Cocoa, Titusville, and everything else area, Brevard County, let's just put it that way, and see what's, if I can, my magic twanger is failing me right about now. Here we go. So Kevin has a request. All right, so Kenneth, I'm sorry, Kenneth has a request. So Kenneth, what do you want to hear?
Hi, how are you, Raleigh? It's been about 3 years since I spoke to you.
Yes.
From here at the Space Center.
Yes. What's been going on? I mean, other than Elon Musk, what's been going on?
Well, I'm sitting right now in a van about 1.2 miles from the Artemis rocket, totally bored out of my mind. I'm just standing a post here. I work security.
Okay.
And they have a wonderful AM radio in the van. I'm one of the four people left on this planet to listen to AM radio, apparently.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear it.
And 720 is just booming in here on the east coast of Florida.
Yeah, it does.
And
now, before you do anything else, give me your request quickly, because then I'm going to put you on hold for a minute.
Request,
but I'll try to
I heard a song years ago by a fellow by the name of Ian Gomm, G-O-M-M. It was a great song, and I can't remember the name of it.
All right. Well, hang on. We'll talk about it right after the news. Don't go away.
All right. See you.
Watch that rocket. Won't. All right. So we'll pick it up right there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
I've been drifting on the sea of heartbreak, trying to get myself ashore for so long. For so long, listening to the stranger stories, wondering where it all went wrong. For so long, for so long.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, Hold On. And that is probably the only Ian Gomm record that people in the States know. He had a number of things in Great Britain from whence he came. But 1979, it was on Albion in 78 in Great Britain, but Epic picked it up on Stiff and released it. And actually, the only reason I remembered it is I actually played this record on. Yeah, I added it to the playlist. And yeah, KPOL, what can I tell you? But anyway, that's one you wanted, I'll bet.
That's a great song. I don't know if you can hear me, Rob.
Yes, loud and clear. Yes, that's the one you wanted.
Oh, that's wonderful. I had forgotten the name of it. It's such a great song. It's and the saxophone in that is just fantastic.
Yep. It's easily available. It's on a ton of CDs now, but originally it was in America, it was a 45 on Epic, on the Stiff label that they were pushing at the time. And
I'd mentioned the name of the song to a couple of people that I work with. Mostly they're Generation Xers and Zers, mm-hmm. and they thought Gomm, the last name Gomm, was some type of candy bar or something. I go, no, that's a singer. He did a great job. So.
Well, it's actually on an album that was GOM. It was a play on words, and I'm trying to think of what it was now. But you have something like GOM with the wind, you know, that kind of thing. But yes, he had several albums, but that was the only thing that sort of hit stateside.
Well, that's great. I just wanted to let you know too. This is sort of a signal report. I don't know how many people you get calling WGN from Florida this far into Florida, but it's been about 3 years since I talked to you before, and I don't have anything good to say about the security vehicle that we have. It's one of those type of radios that has it focuses on FM, not AM. Has that crummy shark fin antenna on it.
Uh-huh.
So I walked over here to my personal vehicle that does have a real AM radio in it, and now I can hear WGN here.
Yeah, it's really sad. I mean, and that's why Bob Crane has a company. His whole company was built on radio reception went to hell in a handbasket. And it's so true, and car radios especially. You know, I used to always make sure I had a GM car. I used to say, I'll buy a radio with a car attached to it because the radio was important to me. And especially some of the imports, oh, my God, they didn't care about AM.
It's just amazing, too, at the number of places you go. You can go to any car shop that supposedly designs and upgrades vehicles. Well, what do you want AM for? You know, you got FM. FM's for morons. That's what I say. I love AM. I'm one of the, like I say, the four people that still listen to it here. And I have a Pioneer Super Tuner in my car. And it comes in great. So I wanted to tell you, I bought my my grandson, he's 6 years old, I bought him a Sea Crane radio.
All right.
It has the tunable receiver on it.
Okay.
And he's just amazed at I would think he would be amazed at anything on the VHF band.
Yeah.
But he's locked up on the Weather Channel. He listens to weather constantly. And
good for
he's
him.
Only six. I'll that's give him credit.
That's fine. Well, you know, when the Weather Channel first started on television, really it was just your local forecast over and over with the Michelin driving forecast. But there were people literally who were glued to that 24/7. And it surprised the heck out of the people who are putting that together. But there are people who still wax sentimental and say, oh, the Weather Channel's no good anymore, you know, now that it has actual features. So I understand
that. Yeah, our local weather channel here is on 162.550 megahertz.
Right.
That's the standard weather channel. And he asked me, hey, does that guy ever get tired or something? I don't think he realizes it's a robot.
Yeah.
But I'm not complaining. He loves the Sea Crane radio, and I think the reason he's not really got interested in AM radio yet is he's just young enough, he doesn't know the geographical locations of the cities around, but he'll learn.
Well, the other thing, of course, is that whenever we have this discussion, we're talking about the delivery truck. And the reality is that most people are going to listen for the content. And sadly, for many people, there's nothing on AM they want to hear. And, you know, but anytime there is, people find AM. They, out of the blue, they'll find it. You have the content. If that's the only place they can hear it, it doesn't matter if it's AM, it's FM, it's XM, it's online. They'll find it.
I've listened to you for so long, and very rarely I get to call you. I'm about 1.2 miles from this booster that's sitting here getting ready for launch on March the 6th. Put it this way, if it launched right now, I'd be in serious trouble, and we're way too close for that. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
This is the deal that didn't it fail some tests a few days ago, and they had to do some repairs. Is that the same ship?
Yes, it did. It's I get a lot of criticism here. I'm a security officer here, but everybody's all excited here that's under 40. Hey, we're going to the moon.
Again.
You know, we've done that seven times already. I'm not sure what the big thrill is, but okay, we're going to go around and orbit the moon one time. Hopefully it works. But, you know, we've been there seven times before.
Oh, absolutely. But now, you know, and you've probably heard this too, there's many people who believe we didn't go at all. And I'll tell you, there's parts of West Texas where I can almost buy into that. You know, but, I do believe we did go, but there's many people who steadfastly believe, no, that was not real.
Oh, sure. There's people here that believe, you know, it actually took off somewhere. It launched somewhere in Arizona.
Yeah.
You think, where did all that hardware go? I mean,
right.
It went somewhere.
Right.
And
well,
so,
now,
anyway.
The frightening thing is, you know, I've heard discussions about that we're going back and why, because they'd like to establish a sustainable long-term human presence. I'm not volunteering for that.
No, I'm not either. And they were talking. I said, if you really want to get me a little excited, let's go to Mars.
I mean,
call it. Let's go somewhere where we've not actually landed and set up an AM radio station there and just see what kind of propagation we get from there.
Well, you know,
no, I'm just kidding.
Well, actually, that's interesting because theoretically the signals go and go. God knows. Maybe if you go far enough, you actually can hear 50s radio again. I'd be pretty excited.
That would be awesome. But I just wanted to call and let you know that I do listen down here.
Thank
and
you.
As much as I listen, I very rarely hear anybody calling from deep into Florida.
No,
you know, I'm 130
right.
miles south of Jacksonville.
Yes, you are. No, I know well.
So,
I've made that drive many, many times. Yes. Yes. I had a good friend who owned an AM station right there in Cocoa Beach.
Was it WKKO?
No, it was, and that was a fine radio station, but it was the 1510, the thing that was on LAC's frequency, and the tower was in the water, which was kind of nice, but I think it was WWBC or something like that, I don't remember.
Oh,
but,
you're right, it was WWBC, that was a...
Yeah.
All gospel.
Right. Well, and paid religion, actually, you know, a dollar a holler,
yes.
Preaching and teaching. But yeah, that was Ray Cassis. That was a childhood friend of mine, and I miss him to this day, but I had been there many
yes.
times.
Ray Cassis is one of our favorites down here that was. He was one of our ham radio,
yes.
amateur radio people we
yes.
talked to all the time.
Yes.
At first, I thought you were talking about a radio station a little further south in Melbourne, Florida. Their radio tower is out in the water. It's WMMB.
Oh, right, of course.
They're on 1240.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah, which is, you know, the old 1240 is the old Conelrad frequency.
That's another thing. If you mention Conelrad around here, I get looks from what planet is that? They have no idea where I'm 71. So when I talk about AM radio and Conelrad and some of the good old days of AM, the terminology, they look at me like, where are you from?
Well, of course, absolutely. But yeah, Conelrad 640
yeah.
and 1240. But you know, it's not mm-hmm. it's not only just people. I'm the LP1 for our county, and I was talking with the EAS folks, and you know, they said, well, you know, they're doing it for my FM. How about your AM? I said, sure. They said, what frequency? I said, Conelrad. And they said, what? 1240.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you know it's not going to be 640. But yeah, anybody with an old radio knows Conelrad because it's those little triangles by the 640 and the 1240.
Oh, I'm absolutely. I have a Sapphire radio that came out of an old Volkswagen.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful radio, very selective. It's got the little triangle in the middle. And about 6 months ago, I was inside the vehicle assembly building. We're making our security checks, and there was uh-huh. an old sign that said Conelrad from 1961. And I actually asked, and they gave it to me. And NASA doesn't just give away anything.
Oh, that's nice. That's a
it's
wonderful
It's a big porcelain
thing.
Sign.
Yeah, but, you know, talking about Ray Cassis again, in high school, I was so jealous of Ray because here he was. He got the Collins S line when that came out. Because he was a ham back then, too, WB4CTZ. And I remember that 7SS1 and that 32S1, that Collins S line was just beautiful.
Well, it sure is nice hearing from you.
Yes.
And I wish I could stay here and talk with you some more, but
yes, no, go go mine the rocket. Good luck on the launch.
Unfortunately, they're calling for the old guy that's 71. I have to go up and climb the radio or the launch pad tonight and go up and do the checks. It's only 375 feet, so that's okay.
God, I wish you were here. I've got a top beacon out on a 360-foot tower, and I need someone to climb it for me. All right. Well, good luck, and thanks. Call again soon.
Okay.
Don't wait 3 years.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, that 75S1 receiver was nice. But all right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And we'll get to Marie in Indiana, and we've got Fran in Austin and Victor in Silver Spring, Robert in LaGrange, and Chris in Greenwood. There's one line available for you if you want it. 8888-ROLLYE on WGN Radio. Chevy Drive Chicago is giving you the chance to win the car you want. It's pick it, win it, drive it from Chevy Drive Chicago. Four great choices from which to pick. Need a dependable truck? The Silverado. Ready to go EV? The Equinox is perfect. Want an SUV? The Blazer or Equinox is what you need. Entering is easy. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. In the meantime, shop your pick at your local Chevy dealer. Proud official partner of your Chicago Bears.
Hey! Written and produced by Mr. Stevie Wonder. Called me late one night and said, Ree, I got a song for you. I said, I'll take it. He said, send somebody down to get it.
Some good.
So there it is, Aretha Franklin with Stevie Wonder, Until You Come Back to Me. And that was one of the Soul Train Award shows. And that was Mitch in Baghdad who wanted to hear it. And a fine choice it was. So 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Let's see what Marie in Indiana has to say for herself. Hello, Marie.
Hi. I've been trying to speak to you for a number of years. I've been following you for probably the last 20 years.
Wow.
And I'm the creator of the Stick People cartoon strip in the Sun-Times, or it might be in the Tribune. I'm not sure, but it was in the Sun-Times. I want to know how I can get accreditation for that. I created that when I was 10 years old.
Well, we're talking about copyrights here. And
yes.
Firstly, what is running now? Has anybody copyrighted that?
Well, I have the papers that I have. I used to work as in a newspaper, and when I talked to the man who made that, it was called I think this was a Crusader newspaper, and his wife was supposed to give the papers to me, and she gave it to this guy who wanted some ideas about how to write, and I'm a writer. I've been writing since I was 10 years old. many things have been written, probably just not, I've not got accreditation for.
Okay.
But I wrote that, and I don't have no paperwork at the moment.
All right, hold on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. We're going to have to undo this piece by piece by piece, and we'll walk you through it. But hang on, we're going to do the news, and we'll be right back to it. Sure. All right, so this is not easy. I'll start by saying that, and we'll pick it up after the news on WGN Radio.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game that we know as love. You have words with him, and your future's looking thin, but these things can rock above. Once in a while he won't call, but it's all in the game. Soon he'll be there at your side with a sweet
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and man, I'll tell you, great, great song. And of course, the music was written by Charles Dawes, vice president, in like 1902 or something like that. And the music later, Tommy Edwards cut it a couple times on MGM, one version in 1951, and then again when he had the big hit, 57 or 58. Now, what kills me every time I hear this is MGM, in their infinite lack of wisdom, decided that they were going to take all their mono recordings and enhance them so they'd sound like stereo. Yeah, and oh God, and the echo on it is noticeable. So yeah, that's another one. I'm going to have to go back, pull the original 45, and recapture that. Yeah, that is just unacceptable on every level. It was Mary Ellen who wanted to hear Tommy Edwards' It's All in the Game, 1958 MGM. She also wanted to hear anything by Skeeter Davis, so we will play Gonna Get Along Without You Now, coming up. All right, so we're talking to Marie in Indiana, and she has an interesting question that does not have a simple answer. So here is the deal, Marie. Copyright automatically exists when you create anything, but when you're trying to get royalties, collect it, things like that, now you have a different problem. The first thing you have to be able to do is prove when you originally drew it. You know, in other words, you have to have some evidence, the original drawing, any dated material, say, from school, that proves you created this character at that time. Now, did you have any...
Well, I didn't create it at school. I created it at home.
Okay.
I was,
home is fine.
10 years old.
Home is fine. Home is fine, but you still have to have it. You see, if you have nothing, it's your word against someone else. Now, what I'm saying is, do you have the original?
I might have some old papers, but I have to go through the outside garbage and go back to my own one of my residencies and see.
I
had manuscripts.
Understood, but what I'm saying,
I don't know if they're still there. I've got to go back and check. But
the other thing is, you're going to have something associated which will prove about when you did it. You see, that's the first cornerstone of this.
My memorization is if whoever. Who created it? If they can, I know the how it went. It didn't go away. He just walked in there. He did walk in there.
None of that matters. None of that matters legally. We're now talking legal. All right. And so I'm telling you what you need to do in order to prevail. It doesn't matter what you know, what you remember, unless you can prove that you, in fact, created it. That's the first step at a certain point in time where you can show the authenticity of it. This is when I created. All right. Then the next thing you do is you register the copyright. I mean, you should have done that a long time ago. Copyright is automatic. That's true. But when it comes to defending it, it's better to have it registered with the Copyright Office. And so you want to prove that you have a public record of the ownership of it. Then after you do those two things, and you have to do those two things before you can do anything else. Now, the next thing after that is you have to look at the work that you are claiming is based on yours. And it has to show substantially similar expression. Not just the same idea, like you said, a stick figure or something. Can't be just that it's a stick figure. It's got to be substantially similar in expression. All right. So if you can show that too, like, you know, your stick figure was doing this, that, or what in a specific way or whatever, you know, you've got something.
Yes, I can do that.
And then you have to show that what you have, you know, is unique to you, not something that anybody could have done at any time. And then you have to take action. Once you determine that the work that you're seeing is based on the work that you did, and remember, it's not about what you, not about the truth here. The truth doesn't matter, Marie. I wish it did. What matters here is if it came down to it, would a jury look at what you are providing and what the person you're trying to get damages from, what they are providing, and would they say, oh, yes, clearly this is based on that? You see, that's what's going to come up to it, because what you first would do once you've got your ducks in a row is you'd send a formal cease and desist letter. All right. And you could contact an intellectual property attorney, but, you know, depending on it, usually they won't take the case on contingency. But you can contact one and discuss licensing or royalty. But you see, copyright protects expression of a character, not the general concept. So in other words, if the drawing of Mickey Mouse looks exactly like Mickey Mouse, that's certainly copyrightable. Someone else who just drew a mouse, that wouldn't be copyrightable in terms of looking at good old Mickey. So that's the thing. Now, the older the work, the easier it is to prove, obviously, that you're the original creator. So you've got that going for you. But first, you've got to find it. You know, in other words, this is not he said, she said. It doesn't matter what anybody knows or what anybody would testify you. You've got to find the material.
Yeah. I bet you so. You know, I thank you for you taking out the time to talk. Can I leave my number with you? If any lawyer would like to...
Oh, well, sure, absolutely. If there's an intellectual property attorney who thinks this is interesting, sure. But in the meantime, do your due diligence, find the original, find a way to date it, and or close to date it, and then have it analyzed in terms of, is this close enough to the concept that you're claiming was based on yours? All right, hang on. Don't go away, and good luck. I know it's very frustrating, and it's really frustrating when you discover that the law is not based on just this is the truth. The law is based on what you're going to be able to prove.
Well, I'm going to leave my number with you, 219.
No, no, don't get, no. I'm going to put you on hold. I don't want you to give it over the air, because I don't want a lot of people to suddenly call you. You don't want crank calls and all that. So I want...
Right, I sure don't. I got enough of those.
Right, exactly. So let me put you on hold, and you'll give it to John, and he'll keep it. And if any attorney wants to call us, we'll give it to them. Hang on. Don't go away. Sure, absolutely. All right. No, the last thing Marie wants is to put her phone number on the radio. Oh, my dear God. All right. So we'll put Marie on hold and take that. It's more than a long shot, and it's sad when you when you've got a situation where you know that you've created something. But you know, the big deal is you know, of course, the evidence comes first. But then again, specific expression is not the same of a concept or a general idea. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Fran, we'll get to Victor, to Robert, and to Chris. Hopefully, you two on WGN Radio.
Gonna get along without you now.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. All right, so Skeeter Davis, John came and said, somebody requested this? Well, they requested Skeeter Davis. That was Mary Ellen. And that's what she gets, 1964 RCA. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And let's see, we got Fran, and Fran is in Austin, as usual. So, Fran, sorry to have to say that, Fran, but you are in Austin.
What's that?
I say, sorry to have to say it, but you are in Austin. Maybe one of these days you won't be.
Yeah. I am in Austin.
Yeah.
I never heard Skeeter Davis do that song. I cringe to admit this, but I like the Patience and Prudence version.
Oh, you know, I do too. And every time I hear that record, though, and that came out in Liberty, and of course, Patience and Prudence were kids of across the street from one of the Liberty guys, so that's how they got on the label. But obviously, they had a lot of good studio musicians in that. Not only that, the string section in that was good. And I've always thought to myself, can you imagine this poor old guy who's, you know, been playing violin, maybe with some small symphony and everything else for years, and he comes home after that session and says, oh my God, you won't believe it, Thelma, what I had to do today. I mean, I have a whole thing going when I hear that song. I can only imagine what some of those guys were thinking.
Oh, I think that a lot about, you know, a lot of those studio musicians and how good they are and, you know, how they had to play the same three chords, you know, or something like that.
Right.
It's like, I know you know that Rupert Holmes song about, you know, I am a studio musician.
It's a wonderful song. Yes.
I love that song.
Yes. Well, I'm going to write that down because we'll play it for you because I still have your Pushover to play. So, haven't forgotten Pushover.
I know you have a lot of requests to get through. So.
Yeah. Well, worse yet, the way they are on, it is a piece of paper now as opposed to just a napkin or something, but actually making it out is still kind of difficult. But anyway, we'll get to it.
Of course, you know, it's a good thing I'm not doing this because some of them I probably would kind of lose. But
well, but see,
not that you would.
I'm very honest about it. If it's, you know, like the guy who requested Up, Up and Away, I probably will do that. But if he requested Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In, it's like, no way, Jose, not happening, not on this show. So.
No. And I've heard you, you know, definitely tell people, no, I'm not playing that.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, the one I like by them is I'm not requesting it necessarily.
Paper Cup.
I like Paper Cup.
I like Paper Cup too. Absolutely. Here inside my paper cup, everything is looking up. Yeah,
I kind of like that song, and that never was played much.
Well, it wasn't. You're right. There was another one along those same lines that I liked by them, and I was kind of rooting for it to be a hit, and it wasn't. Now, what the heck was it? I'm trying to think of it, because Paper Cup's one of the two that I always mention. Well, these are the ones that should have been hits, and of course, they weren't, but
Well, since you don't hate it, maybe I will request it then.
the line from the one I'm thinking of, like pouring brandy out of a Dixie cup is the line from it. And what is that by them? But yeah, Paper Cup came out in 67, and I'd be happy to play it. I actually like the song. But I'm trying. This will drive me crazy. Oh, no, please. I don't need to be awake for this forever. And so now I have to find it. Oh, God. Oh, geez. Because they put out so many singles, whether you wanted them to or not. And some of them were good and some of them weren't. But
you know, if you find it and play it, that'd be great.
Yes. You know. No, I absolutely. Paper Cup, I know I've got, and that's easy. But this was another one that I always said, oh, man, this should have been a hit. You know, that kind of thing, which, of course, meant it never would be a hit. All right. Well, I'll think about it and just shout it out in the middle of what else you're saying. So what else is up?
Well, you were talking in the beginning of the show about, you know, people wanting to go to, you know, like, I can't, this is just my opinion, but I can't see what the big deal is about Chick-fil-A.
Ashes to Ashes, that's what it was. Ashes to Ashes by the Fifth Dimension.
Oh, I don't know if I know that one.
Oh, then I got to play it, yeah. Ashes to Ashes. That's the one. Yeah. All right. So let me pull that while we're doing it. Okay. Chick-fil-A, it's really, really funny because, of course, I had them in the, I guess it was the 60s in the South. They were Southern chain. They were out of Atlanta. And they used to cook everything in real peanut oil. And I'll tell you, It was addictive. I loved it. And of course, now with the peanut allergies and all that, they still claim they cook in peanut oil, but it's like some kind of denatured, non-hypoallergenic or whatever peanut oil, and it just doesn't taste the same. So to
well,
me,
I don't know, because I went to when I went to North Carolina a few years ago, I had it with my friends there, and I called Gary and I said, when I come home, we've got to eat at Chick-fil-A. It is so good.
Right.
And so I come home and we order it, and it's blech.
Well, that's what you I'm know? Saying. Like, yeah, exactly. And North Carolina,
I
yeah.
See what's so great about this stuff. Well, I love their waffle fries.
Yeah.
Then I saw this article about they changed their waffle fries. I'm like, uh-uh.
Yeah, right. Well, again, they used to cook it in wonderful peanut oil, and it was just great. It really was. And, you know, in fact, in 77, when I was working in Durham, we had to do a commercial for them on there. I was one of the, I'm a Chick-fil-A fanatic. Oh, God, you won't believe it. But anyway, but funny story about that. 1980, Chick-fil-A is coming to Los Angeles. By the way, they did come, and then they left. They didn't work, and then they came back a few years later. But when they were out there, they had bought time on KRLA, and Johnny Hayes was the guy who did the commercials. Now, Johnny was originally from Macon. He should have known better. And I turn on the radio one day, and Johnny is extolling the virtues of Chick-fil-A. And I said,
oh, my God!
I called him. I said, Chick-fil-A, what? Yeah, it's what I said. No. And so I said, you're from Macon. And he said, I left in 1959. I said, I don't care, you know. And but it was amazing to me that the agency didn't immediately pull it and say, it's Chick-fil-A. No, it's Chick-fil-A. And so
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A. And of course, that's the way the copy was written, of course. But anybody who knew the F-I-L-A is not filla. So,
right.
Yeah, no. So literally they left town within a year and a half, and they were gone for several years, and then they came back. So,
yeah, but I don't really, you know,
it's not the same.
As far as people going for fast food for Valentine's Day, one of the things I was thinking is I can't think of too many quote unquote nice restaurants anymore, you know, where you get, I mean, when I grew up, my mom, who worked in, you know, some pretty fancy schmancy restaurants, when I was a little girl, I knew how to order, you know, and, you know, how to do all, and, you know, it was weird because when I was a teenager and I went with some friends to San Francisco to this real kind of fancy restaurant, I was telling people things like, you know, how to order and which fork to use and what was what,
right.
You know, and this kind of thing. And when I would order when I was a kid, the waitresses would say to my, how old is this child?
Yeah, right. That's great, yeah.
But she used to like to take me to places, you know, and they had the thick carpeting on the floor and the fancy, you know, napkins and the tablecloths and the, like, when, you know, when people could smoke in restaurants, you'd put one little ash in your ashtray and they were there to...
Right.
Know.
And you had your table captain and all that, of course. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, yeah. And
hang on a minute. Don't go away. I'm going to blow the news again. Stay right where you are and you'll hear Ashes to Ashes right after it. All right, on
all
WGN
right,
Radio.
Leave the
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Fifth Dimension, 1973 on Bell. Yeah, right. Long Tall Sally and Tin Pan Alley. Yeah, oh, God. All right, so.
I have heard that before. I just didn't remember it when you said the name of it, but as it started, I was playing, yeah. As it was playing, oh, yeah, I've heard this before. I like this.
Those were big pop adult stations records. You know, the stations that used to be the MOR stations in the 60s, by the 70s became pop adult, and that would be just
right.
A staple of what they'd play. And some of it was pretty good.
Yeah, I liked some of those stations, and of course I liked the jocks on those stations.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, but it's like, you know, I didn't want my friends catching me listening to that.
Oh, I know. Well, that's, you know, growing up, I always wanted to hear those MOR morning men. They were just, you know.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, all those people thought, you know, all the kids thought the music was so unhip, but what they didn't realize, that the jocks were hipper than any of the top 40 guys would ever be. It was just terrific.
Oh, no, they were just fantastic. Yeah, I you know, you'd sit there, you wouldn't want to leave the room because
right.
You might miss something.
That's exactly right, for fear you'd miss something. Yeah, like Don Sherwood on KSFO. Yes, there were so many.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
You know, but, oh, yeah. And
I
remember very well, and I like to, you know, KMPC Los Angeles.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah, Dick Whittinghill and everybody. But I'll tell you, I liked Bob Crane when he came from Connecticut to L.A., and I thought he was great. And then when he left, they brought in Reg Kordick. And Reg had been like the best guy in Pittsburgh ever, the best morning man. To this day, if you talk to old-time Pittsburghers, they know Reg Kordick. And, you know, he had these great products like old frothing sloths, the beer with the foam on the bottom, and things like that. Yeah. And just that's what I mean, just hilarious. So anyway, he gets to KNX replacing Bob Crane, and he dies. I mean, nobody listened to it. Now, it turned out great for him because he became a voiceover guy and did very well and lucrative, you know, till his dying day in voiceover money. But he just could not get a handle on L.A. And I was just heartbroken because I knew how good he was in Pittsburgh. So it doesn't always work.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh, I wonder why he just didn't.
Reg Kordick. And then it was weird because he did a show on KRLA in like 1981, just like one. And I still have the reel-to-reel tape because I thought, I'm taping this. And, you know, of course, I haven't played it in years. But yeah, Reg Kordick. So there you go.
Wow. But, yeah, I don't seem to recall that name. But
no, that's what I mean. You wouldn't. Well, you probably remember when, you know, Bob Crane was doing it.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, he came in from Hartford and did that. Or it was Hartford or New Haven? Connecticut, to be sure. But in any event, he was just wonderful. Kept a set of drums in the control room. So it was a lot. But there were, you know, and my all-time favorite, of course, Dan Sorkin on WCFL. Nobody held a candle to Dan in my mind. But the list, you know, we could probably come up with two dozen names that any of the kids listening to the top 40 stations would have never heard of.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, and I liked, you know, I even liked some of that music, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is just, you know, and I don't care. I like what I like, and if you don't like it, it's so funny how people get so upset if you don't like the music they like.
Well, isn't that true about everything emotional? I mean, all wars are fought over religion. If you don't believe what the next guy believes, you're dead. So
yeah, that's true.
You know,
very true. So yeah, why should it surprise me that people are that way about music?
Yeah, it's anything emotional. And yeah, I've never cared if anyone shared my passion. I don't expect anyone to. In fact, when people will send me email occasionally that they found KJ and how much they like it, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. Stop listening. Don't listen to my stream. Don't eat my bandwidth. Goodbye. You know.
Well, I like KJ.
Yeah. Well, you know, for the people I know and who I know love the music, it's like, fine, I'll spring for the bandwidth. But, you know, the rest of them, nah. And I always get things, I always get those SEO emails, I'd say now 10 a day maybe, about how we've seen your website and it looks nice. And I'm thinking, only if you can't see does this look nice. And, you know, but We've
so
got.
I would think it looks nice. Okay.
Yeah. Right. It doesn't. And you know, I don't care. I designed websites 35 years ago. I know how to do this. I don't care. I don't have time for it. The hell with it. You know. And the deal is that they're always wanting to make me this offer, how more people can see you, and I'm like, you don't understand. I don't want anybody to see this. So.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't want the publicity.
Exactly. So I don't respond. I responded a couple times. If you clearly didn't get it, well, we can help you for very little money. Are you going to help me by going away? So, yes.
Right.
Exactly. Right now. Yeah, and God knows what countries they're in. You know, it's not America, or if it is, English was not their primary language.
Yeah. I like to listen to it, especially it's my shower station, because okay. I always hear something I like. I, you know, there's some stations I like to listen to in the shower, and that's one of them.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, no, I turn it up loud so I can sing with it, and no one will hear me. You know, so I can drown myself out, because that's mandatory as far as that goes. Oh my dear God. So glad you like it. And one of these days, you know, I still feel terrible. I put those 3,600 files on there and never did another thing. And half of them I ripped from CDs, and I listened to them. And I go, I got to change this again. And then I've got a life to live. I'll change it when I get to it. You know?
Yeah. It's like I can't find a good copy if it's all in the game that doesn't have.
Oh, I've actually got one. I took the original 45, took out all the hiss and all the pops and all the clicks, and then on top of it, they still had, I couldn't believe it, not as much, but they still had some reverb on that puppy. But, yeah,
He doesn't need reverb.
No, well, they did that, you know, when they brought out that Tommy Edwards Greatest Hits in the mid-60s on MGM, that was, the reverb was so bad, one channel was just all reverb, you know, and it was terrible. And, my favorites are Love Is All We Need and Morning Side of the Mountain. So both of those are the ones. But, yes, getting...
Oh, I love Morning Side of the Mountain.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful song.
It is, yeah. A flip of Please, Mr. Sun. So, I thought it was a great song. And same with Love Is All We Need. Hell, I even like that by Vic Dana, so that's really saying something. But
wow.
although now that I think about it, there's another Vic Dana record I actually liked, A Lifetime Lovin' You. Anders and Poncia wrote that. And I thought it was another pop adult record from the 60s. And I thought, that's a great little record. Top 40 should play that. Not a chance. You know?
Sounds familiar, but I'd probably know it if one of those. I'd probably know it if I heard it.
Well, yeah, because you were if you were listening to those Morning Men, of course you heard it. You know, because they would play them.
Was, so.
Yeah, so you would hear those. You know, that's exactly what they'd play. But let me see if I have that on here to see if I've got. And that's another thing. There weren't any real clean copies of this. It was polystyrene. It wasn't pressed that well. But let's see if this one's any good. No, but I still like it.
You just happened yesterday, yet it seems you came my way before.
Oh, I know this song.
Yeah.
I know that song. That's a very good song.
I swear I felt your lips on mine at least 1,000 times or more. Darling, we walked in the sun.
Yeah, I was on a quest to get a clean copy of that. I've got about 10 and none of them are. It almost sounds like they're slightly over-modulated. And
it's hard to tell on the phone line.
Yeah, no, there's a real problem with it. But it's still, you know, that was a big pop adult record, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's a great song. Yeah. I think you played it.
Oh, probably.
At some point.
Yeah. I probably got it on KJ, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, because I just liked it. So, yeah. Well, everything that was on the 8-tracks in the car wound up on KJ. But, you know, and some of them with the same quality. Yeah, like Sweet Changes by Jack Jones. Yes, that's on there. So I refrained from Heinz, Heinz, and Dad, but I thought about it. Anyway. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I like some of his stuff, except I can't stand Wives and Lovers.
Oh, I hate that song. Know, that to me, though, is so damn funny. You know, it's so over the top that it doesn't offend me because it's just so over the top. No one in their right mind could believe it, you know. So I just, and of course.
Yeah. I can see that. I can definitely,
And that's Burt Bacharach, who was a smarmy husband anyway.
Oh.
According to Carol Bayer Sager. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Some of Gary and our, little in-jokes have to do with that song. He'll say something to me about, comb your hair,
fix your makeup.
Soon
he will open.
I don't even wear makeup. Right. If I did, I'd put it on wrong because I can't see what I'm doing with it.
Don't walk around with your hair still in curlers.
I don't like women who do wear makeup, but I'm not one of them.
Right, exactly.
Lipstick is about as far as I go.
Right, yeah, no. Don't walk around with your hair still in curlers. You might, yeah.
Okay, some guy is going to leave me because my hair is still in curlers. I don't want him.
Right. No, absolutely. So I don't understand how women slept with them anyway. To me.
I used to sleep with, when I was a little girl, I had real long hair. And my mother would put it up in rollers and put a little, the little cap thing on my head.
Oh,
you know, I had enough trouble sleeping as it was, without putting like rocks on my head.
Yeah, that's child cruelty. It really is. Yeah, and especially
it is. And then they had those. Then they had the ones that were supposed to be better. That
the
were
foam,
kind of made out of like
the
foam rubber.
The foam. Yeah,
flippy things.
Yes, the foam rubber ones. No, I'm sorry. The flippy things were deadly.
Yeah. And then she tried pin curls.
Oh God! Do you
Do
you remember
that
product? And I've thought about it so often. It can't be on the market still. But it was rubber, and it was like a pin curl, and you'd roll your hair in it, and then you'd flip the top over the bottom so it would stay together.
Oh yeah, I remember those. Yeah,
that was a disaster. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Oh, I know. Yeah, the hell with it.
I just, then it, I was always, I'd still like my hair. Do something with that hair.
Oh, geez.
It's just like, okay, I combed it. What more do you want?
Oh, geez. Yeah, exactly. That's enough. Oh, my God, they still have things like those rubber things here. I just looked it up on Amazon, and you can get 40 pieces of Pink Magic for $8.95. Oh, my dear God.
Oh, my God. I was happy when they came out with the curling iron. I could deal with that.
Yeah.
I would just get up in the morning and put my hair in a little page boy-like thing. And
it's got 15,000 positive reviews. Wait a minute. Well,
yeah. Oh, my God. What are these people thinking?
Well, no, there goes all the credibility on those reviews. No, just no. Oh, man, I remember these so well. Oh, God. All right, well, if that doesn't
nowadays,
date you,
nowadays I have my hair short and layered, and I just have to run my fingers through it in the morning, and,
perfect.
Wash it and run my fingers through it, and I'm ready to go.
There you go.
That's,
Yeah, that's living large. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, always wonderful to talk to you.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Okay, good. Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And, this is too good because she's right. I'm going to get to Victor, Robert, and Chris. Don't go away. But Dee Dee in Milwaukee, Spoolies, that's exactly what they were called. They
Hi,
were Spoolies.
Hi, Raleigh. Yes,
yes.
I was just doing some stuff, and they were called Spoolies.
Yes, they were Spoolies. As soon as I saw
mine that were put in my hair by my grandma, my mom, they were brown, ugly brown.
Oh, now mine were this pinkish color. But,
That's better than the brown. But yes, Spoolies, I could never forget that.
Yes, Spoolies.
And I'd wake up looking like Harpo Marx.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, 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 yes. But they were called Spoolies. You're 100% right.
Yeah, all I needed was the trench coat and the horn. Hello, Or Groucho. Oh, my God.
And I just looked it up. They're still selling them, but now they're not rubber. They're not
God,
rubber anymore.
Raleigh.
Now they're silicone.
And I sleep with those.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Yes.
Oh, that's
oh
so
my God.
Spoolies.
Put the scarf
that's right.
on. Right, right.
right.
Oh,
yes.
my God. That
oh, God.
Is too much.
I
hey, Raleigh,
it.
I'd like to request a song of this dimension, of course, in loving memory.
Yeah.
It was my fave, and it was called Working on a Groovy Thing.
Okay. We can do that.
Cool, Raleigh. Anyway, love you, Raleigh, and everybody. Thanks for James calling in and Fran. I just love you, everybody. And thanks for everything, Raleigh.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so yes, absolutely, we'll do the fifth dimension working on a groovy thing. Patty Drew from Evanston had a quasi-hit with that, too, that was very nice. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Victor, Robert, Chris, and hopefully you if you call on WGN Radio.
Work of art. She's the girl who stole my heart. My Venus in blue jeans is the Cinderella I adore. She's my very special angel too, a fairy tale come true. They say there's seven wonders in the world, but what they say is out of date. More than seven wonders in the world, I just met number eight. My Venus in blue jeans is everything I hope she'd be. A teenage goddess from above, and she belongs to me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Neil Sedaka and Howie Greenfield wrote that in 1962, and of course that's Jimmy Clanton, and Jimmy was from Louisiana, so it's no shock he was on Ace. Yeah, it was John Vincent's label, and what a great label it was, and of course most of it was really wonderful soul stuff, and it was originally in Mississippi, but yeah, John Vincent was really a trip. But the interesting thing is that it was distributed through VJ, since most of it was R&B, and I remember when that came out and I saw the label, and I thought, oh man, VJ is distributing Venus and Blue Jeans. All right, get down with your bad self, I guess. All right, so 888-876-5593. Robert in LaGrange, are you still with us?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
All right, and still awake. Yeah, this is excellent.
I know. Yeah. Let's see. I just have a couple of requests.
Okay.
One is by the Drifters. Dance With Me, it was called.
Okay, sure.
And then the other one... you just mentioned Jimmy Clanton.
Yeah.
He did the song Just a Dream, didn't he?
Of course, absolutely.
Yeah, so that'll be my other request for tonight.
Absolutely,
yeah.
You did. Yeah, big.
Yeah.
All right, you got it.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Good to talk to you. Thanks, and thanks for waiting. Appreciate it.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye
now. I blew the news. I just realized this. Completely blew the news. The news is on as I speak, so if you're listening on the stream, hang on. If you're listening on WGN, you're not hearing a word I'm saying.
Summer night. Remember then.
Remember
then. Summer's over. Our love is over. To lose that love was such a sin. Remember then.
Ah.
Our love is in the past.
Manifest.
Oh, has it gone so fast?
Manifest.
Why couldn't our love last?
Manifest. Wop, 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 wop
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, Larry Chance and the Earls, Old Town 1963. Yeah, blue-eyed doo-wop from the Bronx, and that was Mike in Elmwood Park's request, and now he has heard it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Victor in Silver Spring's been hanging on a while. Let's see if he's still with us. Victor, you still there?
Hey, Raleigh.
Well, thanks for waiting. What's up?
Well, I had a friend come over today, and I had him check my Z-Crane shortwave radios. I got five of them scattered around the house, and make sure that the batteries weren't leaking or anything.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
And I was explaining to him why I like these radios. I got the shortwave one that I bought about 10 years ago. They're still working.
Sure.
Well, I explained to him this way. I like the selectivity on these radios.
Right.
And I want you to imagine a parking lot with the lines. Cheap radio. I'll do that first. The cheap radio, it would represent a truck, and it would take up three spaces on either side. That's the cheap radio. The Z-Crane radio would fit in the slot without touching the other lines on either side. Because I remember a cheap radio that my late fiancé won at the county fair, and that thing was so bad that, for example, when I tuned it to 630 WMAL, I could not get anything on either side because of the cheapness of the radio. The Z-Crane radio, you can get weak stations next to very strong stations.
Right. Also, when you get those wonderful places on the dial where if you turn the radio in one direction, you get one station, turn it in another, you get another station like 800. You know, you can get X-Rock and CKLW or X-Rock or CKLW and Radio Bon Air.
Down in West Palm Beach back in 1990, I remember I had 590 on the dial. I got a station down there.
Right.
And I turned it in another direction and got Cuba.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And also, another reason why I like these Z-Crane radios, they are built to last. And like I said, I've had these five radios scattered throughout the house. I also have an Alexa, and I managed to plug an FM transmitter into her so I can transmit a little FM station and hear Alexa through my radio.
Sure.
And then I can take another radio, same Z-Crane, I got five of them. I can take another one outside and sit on the front porch and annoy the neighbors when I listen to Boss Radio 66.
Yeah. That's fun. Sure. Yeah, that 590 in Florida was probably that little Clewiston station.
At the time, it was a country music station.
Yeah, it's Clewiston. They've only got about 470 watts at night. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, no, that's got to be them.
There's a station that has a new format, the Gambit, on 1050. And when that station drops its power down to 43 beautiful watts, and I was told that once you leave downtown Silver Spring, you can't get the station anymore.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, there's a lot on that 1050. Of course, the old WHN or Chum in Toronto. There's a number of things. Many of them daytimers or 19 watts at night, things like that.
Yeah, I remember when I used to listen to Joey Reynolds on WKBW Buffalo in 1963-64 at 8:30 in the summertime, he'd say, "It's time to put the baby stations to bed," and he'd play a children's record.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Do you still have your Royal Order of the Night People card from Joey?
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a purple card
with
a picture on it.
That's exactly right.
And you had to seal your radio dial with the drippings from a purple candle.
Right.
And I told them I can't because I couldn't get anything on 1520 during the daytime.
Right. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, absolutely. He was I think Joey in the early 60s and Jack Armstrong in the early 70s were the two best things at night that KB ever had.
Yeah. Well, Jack Armstrong originally was on KYC in Cleveland.
Well, that wasn't originally. Yeah, that's when he was rooming with Chuck Riley. No, he was originally, his first job, I would say out of high school, except he didn't graduate, was actually Big Ways. He did overnights at Big Ways in Charlotte using his real name, John Larsh. And it was...
Speaking of Charlotte, what's going on with 1110?
Well, nobody knows. They're still stunting it. It's just a little loop, a music loop that says, you know, basically you can listen to WBT at 107.9 and stay tuned here. We'll tell you what we're doing, except they don't tell you what they're doing. So they're doing nothing yet. But when Jack left Waves, it was Norm Wayne and Bob Weiss who owned Wixie at the time, Wixie 1260. Yeah. And that's who gave him the name Jack Armstrong. And then, yes, after the Wixie thing fell apart, he went to KYC and was rooming with Chuck Riley, who was Chuck Dan at the time. And, he had a good time there. He was on stage with the Beatles and all that. He liked it.
You know, I remember getting WLS back in around 1960-61.
Sure.
And I remember Ron Riley.
Yes.
He ended up in Baltimore, I think.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
And I saw him... doing Bowling for Dollars.
Right, absolutely. I loved Bowling for Dollars because they'd tape all 5 days, because it was a strip show, in one day. And Ron Riley was not a guy who did this. But in the markets where the guy who did it, usually it was the sports guy or the weather guy, if they drank it all, by the time you got to the Friday show, it was hilarious.
I can believe it.
Yes.
And do you remember Dialing for Dollars?
Take these strips from
the telephone book, rip them up into shreds.
It's
three from the bottom.
Right. I was going to say, the count and the amount. Yes, absolutely. Three. You betcha. Dialing for Dollars. And that was franchised. And that was on. And a friend of mine in Miami used to do that. He's no longer with us either. Jumpin' Jack O'Brien. He was the kiddie show host. And he was doing Dialing for Dollars. And, it, you know, they...
Well, speaking of kiddie shows, I seem to remember... Well, I didn't... remember, I just heard about it. It was Channel 3 in Hartford, Connecticut. I think it was 1964. There was a kiddie show, and something happened. I don't know what it was, but it caused a lot of controversy.
Really? Was that the Ranger Andy deal?
Maybe.
All right. Yeah, because that was TIC TV. I'm not going to comment on it because I only remember part of it, but I think it probably was that, yes. And, you know, the kiddie show hosts were also, I was hoping when John used to do documentaries and stuff, I would have loved it if they did a documentary of all the local kiddie shows, just like all the local horror movie shows, you know.
I remember when I lived up in... Massachusetts at the time, from 1955 to 62, we watched this kiddie show, Rex Trailer.
Yep.
And his horse Gold Rush, and he talked about the West and the Kit Carson films, and then there was, of course, Bozo the Clown, and there was a different Bozo in each city.
Of course.
And the Bozo that was in Boston, he turned out to be the voice in the Bozo cartoons.
Yeah, Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Dialing for Dollars, back to that in a moment, that started in Baltimore, and it started on the radio. It was on CBM. And this is going, yes. This is back before me. I heard about it, but I was not alive in 1939, I can say, with conviction. And it was a guy named Homer Todd who did it originally. So, yes, absolutely. And it was, they'd usually do that midday movie because certainly in the early 50s and stuff like that, there was nothing on TV. So you had to find, you know, the network wasn't supplying a lot of programming, at least not all day.
And then there was another kiddie show that originated in Baltimore. Bert Plaster created the show, and his wife was the first romper room, Miss Nancy. And then it, I guess it scattered all over the place.
Oh, yeah, they absolutely were.
When I was in Boston, it was Miss Jean in Providence. Yeah. It was Miss Anne.
But the reason it was Miss
Manchester, New Hampshire, was Miss Alice.
The reason it was Miss Nancy was it was Nancy Claster. And she did that from 63 on. And I think she's the one who created the Magic Mirror segment.
Yes.
And so, yeah. But I'll tell you.
I had to suffer through that when I was babysitting my two cousins.
All right.
Because they had, you know, they had to watch it.
I think some of the best kiddie shows came out of Seattle. And a woman named Ruth Prince, who was just hilarious. And then Stan Burleson, and he had these, Basset Hounds. One was called Slow Motion. But just great.
I got a chance to talk to Bob Keesh, and he was a guest on a talk show back in the mid-90s. And I told him how I liked Captain Kangaroo and I remember the two cartoons he showed, Tom Terrific with the line drawings and Pow Wow the Indian Boy.
Yeah, right. And he had been Clarabel the Clown before that on Howdy Doody. Hang on a minute. I'm running out. Don't go away, I don't think. I got to do something right now. All right. WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I've only got about 3 minutes. We'll forego the bumper. We're talking for another minute or so with Victor, and then we'll get to Chris, and that's it for the night. And so I was going to tell you one thing. I was a phone freak. Were you a phone freak when you were younger, Victor?
I'm not exactly what a phone freak was.
Well, you know, for instance, defeating the long-distance charges and all of that and, you know, other things.
No, okay. I never did
all right,
that.
Well, I was in.
What I did was.
What I was going to tell you is one of the first things I did, fun with the phone, was if you remember Dialing for Dollars, every market it was the same where the host would be there, you know, doing it and the counting the amount, as you know, but he'd have the phone right there and he'd pick it up and dial. Well, that phone invariably was not a number that was right into the switchboard so that he could get a dial tone instantly and dial. Well, I got the number on a couple of these. And so I'd wait till just before he was going to pick up the phone and I'd call it. And it was hilarious to watch these people look at the phone, look at the camera, and just not know what to do. So I had a lot of fun with that. My phone freaking grew from there.
I enjoy the bloopers. I got a blooper collection over the years, and some of them are absolutely hilarious. I won't go into it, but you can imagine what would happen if the microphone was turned on a second too late or too early or something like that.
The only problem with that, those are the Kermit Schaefer things.
Yes.
The only problem is some of them weren't real. Kermit made a lot of them up. And that's the only problem. They were recreations, and you'd have to find out which is real and which was not. I remember when he moved to Miami Beach on Fairview Boulevard, he had paid a friend of mine to do some of the female voices. So they weren't all real. But it still was fun, and the books were fun and all that. But and some of them were real, but a lot of them weren't. All right, I'll talk to you soon, and thank you very much, and I appreciate you waiting.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. All right, so now the last minute, and when I say last minute, I think I mean it, because I think there is a commercial break after this, goes to Chris in Greenwood. So you got your minute, Chris. I'm sorry.
Hey, how you doing, Raleigh?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm good. You remember you said, like, them old radios that has those triangles on it, like...
Yeah, Connell Red, 640 and 1240, of course.
Yeah, what happens if a station operates on those frequencies back then.
Well,
did they get interrupted every time?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, nobody was interrupted. Remember, the announcement said, in the event of an emergency, tune to 640 or 1240. Those would be the activated stations, but the test didn't actually activate them.
Oh, like, for example, like you in Newberry, there's a 1240 WKDK.
Yeah.
It was the Bay of Conrad station.
Well, sure. All it wasn't the station that was. It was the frequency that was. So that's the way the system worked, Conrad. And you would be told to switch to 1240 or 640, and that was the Cold War. They were expecting an attack or whatever. But no, normally there wasn't anything going on those stations. You were just advised to tune to them as it went. And you know, it was a deal where there was a sequence of shutting the station off for 5 seconds, returning the air for 5 seconds, shutting it again. Well, call me tomorrow night, and I promise to get to you earlier, and we'll talk about it. All right, because I'm out of time.
Okay.
I've just ended the show. Thanks, and thanks to Adam for keeping us on the air, and John for screening your calls. Above all, thank you for calling. And yes, Conrad and Moore show starts at 10 o'clock, 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.